Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and listen, no fancy guests this week, no glitz, no glam, just the old gang back together. It's just Ash and Jeremy and myself, and we're just talking about movies the way this show was always intended to be. Good stuff, fun times, stories from shows that have now miraculously been back now that we're in phase three of the reopening of the wonderful state of Maryland. But hey, you know, listen, if you're a big-time listener of the show, drop us a five-star rating on the Apple iTunes, whatever. You know, the fucking shits where you listen to podcasts at. You know where it's at. I don't need to tell you. Or just recommend us to a friend. Costs you nothing at all and means the absolute world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in. Crank that volume up to 11 and get ready for The Howling.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Give us what we want.
What's with you puking so much? It seems like every week you're puking. Or is it from partying and drinking?
I wish. No, I told Eric that I think what has happened is I have taken too many medications for my other problems, and it has caused an ulcer because my stomach is bleeding.
Oh, so, lovely.
Yeah, so I think what happened this morning is, like, you wake up, you're hungry, like, naturally your body's hungry. I didn't eat right away, and I think the ulcer was developing, and I think what happened is, like, my stomach acid started turning, upset the ulcer, and then I was like, I'm in so much pain, like, I need to puke. So that was great. So now I just hurt all over. It's fine. Boom. How's work?
Well, I'm kind of a doctor, so if you could shit into a Gatorade bottle and send it over to me, that would be, I'd probably be able to make the right judgment call on it.
You know what? Honestly, Eric, my aim at this point, shooting that shit water, should be so good that I can probably aim it in the Gatorade bottle.
It's his fetish. He's into poop. Don't give him any poop. I'm ready. I don't have anything else to give.
Fuck yes. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast, home of both quality and time. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and I'm joined by my my brother, Mr. Jeremy P., fresh off his shift, Woodworth.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is joining us on the program?
It is I, Patrick McNee, and I am also naked right now.
Patrick McNee? Patrick McNee is on the show? How did we pull that off?
Some believe that this film was made by the Toltecs.
Some believe, baby.
By the way, Patrick McNee, in a real life, a nudist.
What? For real?
Yes, I looked that up.
Patrick McNee is actually a nudist.
And that is actually kind of frightening.
I did not know that.
You might be looking at my genitals because I am naked right now. I am Patrick McNee.
Well, Patrick McNee is in our movie tonight, which is, of course, The Howling. And you might know him from such great movies as the original The Avengers from 1961 or Battlestar
Galactica. Now, did he play Iron Man or The Hulk?
Yes. No, this is The Avengers without the – not Marvel's Avengers, the other Avengers.
You mean the X-Men?
Yeah, yes, I hate you. I hate everything that you do. And my other guest, my other co-host, the very lovely, very talented, is Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you, love?
Hi, Daddy. I could be better, but you guys make me feel better, so that's why I'm here.
You're on the
as long as you're not vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not a day unless it's Ashley puking up blood Sunday. So
yeah, I kind of feel like I belong in like whatever next installment they do of Creep Show. Like, I did something wrong, and I'm just like, why am I puking up my insides? And they're like, Ashley, you were in that candy store. And I'm like, no, I didn't mean to take it.
It's Mother's Day, Bedelia.
That's also my favorite U2 song is Ashley throwing up Bloody Sunday.
Ashley is throwing up Bloody Sunday. How long will she vomit now? How long she vomit?
Hey, I was worried that you were going to take that bit too far, and I was like, nope, he took it just long enough for that.
Perfect.
I'm sorry I don't sound as lady enough as Bono does.
As ladylike as Bono?
Yeah.
That makes sense. So yeah.
Well, I look like crap right now, and I was waiting for Jeremy to be like, Ashley, couldn't you look a little more feminine while things are like leaking out of my orifices?
Yeah, Ashley, you look like
Ashley
60...
compared... Sorry.
No, now I'm waiting for you.
Ashley, you've looked more feminine now than you did during the first like 10 episodes, so.
Yeah, that's fair. I think quarantine's been good to me. The longer I'm in it, the more I'm preparing for when we're released fully, and I can just pop my pussy powers and just engulf it.
Hell yeah, whop. Whop that thing.
You had me at pussy powers.
Yeah.
It sounds like the sequel. It sounds like Austin Powers arch enemy / sister, Pussy Powers.
That would make sense because right? I'm just as hairy.
Oh man. You know what? I was at the Magoobies Joke House last night, and somebody was talking about their favorite show, which was like the fixed plastic surgery show. I forget what it's called, but have you ever seen like botched surgery fix show,
yes,
whatever? Literally every girl that goes on there, like 80% of them look like they were like, yeah, I was in the movie The Shining and I need to get my titties fixed now. It's fucking atrocious. It's really horrible. But
I like to watch Dr. Pimple Popper because it makes me feel better about my own face.
God, I love. There's nothing. Every fucking disgusting cyst. I love seeing one of those things drained. I like when it gets on somebody's face or face mask. There's something about it. It is just. It does it for me.
I want to do like a fake pimple popper video, and whatever they take out of somebody's head, I want to like spoon right into my mouth like it's fucking yogurt.
That's,
you know, like, that's, man, this area is salty.
You know, it would be the best is if it's like the pimple popper thing. He's like, they don't tell you about the other uses, and then like you squeeze it all out into this jar, and then the next thing is like you like brushing your teeth with it. Like that's like, like that.
I'm still hoping that at some point Eric is gonna do a porn video on Pornhub, and it'll be titled "Draining a Cyst." And it'll be just Eric jerking off in front of the camera.
Stop telling him about my OnlyFans.
I'm draining a cyst. No, but the best thing is that you can have somebody, the expression of the person who's getting the giant cyst removed, and all of a sudden he looks around like, what's going on? And the doctor is like rubbing the cyst juice all over his face.
And don't think I forgot about you, Jeremy. If you ever do one, we need to call it extracting a boil, which is just you getting kicked out of MonsterCon.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we could actually hire that English singer chick named Edna Boyle or whatever her name is?
Oh yeah, is Linda Boyle? Boyle. Linda Boyle. Isn't it?
Linda Boyle.
Susan Boyle.
No. Susan Boyle.
Linda Boyle. We couldn't get Susan Boyle. We had to get her sister Linda. She can't even sing, so she's just an ugly broad that just sings like trash.
Oh man, it hurts so bad. I just love that you guys went through like the ugly name dictionary until you found the right one.
Oh man.
Tonight on Removing a Boyle, Susan Boyle is removed.
Oh man, I hope we never change. I hope we never change.
It sure is ugly, but she sure can sing.
Hey, Before we get too far into tonight, hey, I wanted to tell you guys, last night I went to Magoobie's Joke House, right? And it was a sold-out show. First one since the pandemic. Very excited about that. Now, congrats. While on the way there, I live in God's country, Carroll County, so I drive generally through Owings Mills to get to the Magoobie's Joke House over in Lutherville, Timonium, which, you know, to all of our listeners in, like, anywhere other than just the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland area, that information meant nothing. And that's fine, but I just wanted to take you guys through this. As I'm driving through Owings Mills, which is just... I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's no reason you should ever live there. There's nothing in Owings Mills except, like, the shittiest shit to go to. There's literally, like, a Red Robin, a mall that's derelict and defunct, and a Green Turtle. That is it. Those are the things that are in Owings Mills.
How dare you? There's a Best Buy.
There is a Best Buy, but I think that's considered Reisterstown at that point. Reisterstown, bustling community.
No, and there's also the Ravens training camp.
The Ravens training facility is like in the middle of nowhere when you're a bunch of houses, the Under Armour training facility. That is true, but it's not like you just go there, okay?
One more, and then I'll let you go free, is if you drive a little bit further down the Ravens training camp, it is by far one of the best liquor stores I've ever stepped foot in.
Oh.
Which one? The one on the corner there with all the, like, the signs outside, the beer signs, like on the corner of Randallstown and that?
No, it's down from the Raven Stadium, like another quarter mile. It is like, it's like a sex liquor store. It's like it's like the prettiest liquor store that you walk into and you just want to live there. And I think a woman owns it and runs it, and she has her little shih tzu there. But it's like mood lighting, and it's just beautiful. It's the most beautiful liquor store ever.
Welcome to Sensual Liquors, where we get you boozed up nice. You can buy your scented candles over here. And, here's my dog. He'll actually shit in your mouth for $50.
I seriously, this is the kind of liquor store where you expect to be handed cheese and a glass of wine instantly.
I don't know why this reminded me. I really will get back to this story about driving in Owings Mills here in a second. But when I was working earlier this week, and I don't know why this popped into my head, but I have a coworker who is of Latin American descent. She's bilingual. She speaks in Spanish. And I walked by, and she was like laughing really loud. And I stepped into her office. I was like, hey, did you think because I'm dumb and white, I wouldn't understand that you're laughing in Mexican right now? And like, I wouldn't understand, Kelly. Did you think I wouldn't get that?
What does it matter if she has sex with both men and women?
I just thought, shut up. I just thought it was so funny. Like, if somebody went to HR, she was like, yeah, she was laughing in Mexican, as if I wouldn't get it. Which, like, I just thought that was very, very, like, if you were such a bigot, that's the thing that you brought up.
But I would be more excited for her to go to HR and be like, one of my coworkers, he came to me and he was like, you laugh in an accent.
You laugh. I laugh in Spanish. And he say he understand that. She's a very, very kind lady. So, no, aww. Listen. So, I'm driving through Owings Mills, this destitute fucking place where it's horrible to live, okay? And as I drive past, there's a Green Turtle right before I get on the 795 and continue my journey. And I look over, and there's a bunch of people outside. I'm like, oh, this is neat. I see a bride and a groom at the Green Turtle. And on top of that... They're having pictures, wedding pictures taken in front of the Green. They were having their wedding at the Green Turtle in Owings Mills, in Owings Mills, Maryland, and just having their happiest day of their life. When they renew their vows, they can go back to the Green Turtle. They can have wings. They can have. You understand? This is
not in 6 months. They can't. Thank you, COVID. Wow.
So yeah, I would have chosen the Outback.
Yeah, so I saw a wedding at a Green Turtle yesterday. So that's we took a long journey to explain how shitty Owings Mills was just to get to that. But
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'm a little disappointed they didn't reach out to Eric to do the music.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I was available up and, well, I was booked that night, but, you know, had they reached out earlier, huh?
How great is it that they're like, we want to book Eric Woodworth to sing at our wedding, and he's like, sorry, ladies, I'm booked that night.
Oh, man. So I do have something that we haven't done in a long time on this show, ladies and gents. Get ready. Because it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. Get ready for some Joe Robinson corrections.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Joe Robinson. Do you have corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
Oh, and boy, do I have a bunch, okay? So,
actually started listening to us again.
He's back in the saddle, baby, old Joe Robinson. Look at that.
We haven't bored him to death.
Look, I attribute this solely to Jeremy's influence on the Rob and Joe show and his music that he's been putting out lately. So, kudos to you, Jeremy Woodworth.
Hey, the second one they didn't shit on. It's great.
So this is going back to the Midsommar episodes where we had guest Brandon Lescure. He goes, Stephen King is shit. Brandon Lescure is amazing. Got it. that was his first correction.
Is he talking about the director of Maximum Overdrive?
Yes. Hey, Joe Robinson then goes on to say, one of them was in a comedy troupe with Mike Turpin. The other is an American treasure.
So, Jesus.
So he says it's letting days go by. I believe this is you, Jeremy. You say letting the days go by, and the song is actually called Once in a Lifetime. Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads there. So you also refer to Sandra Bullock's as both Sandra Bullock's and also Santa Bullock. That's
I prefer Sandy Buttocks.
Sandy Buttocks? Okay.
Well. Sandy Buttocks.
Wait, isn't she from SpongeBob?
Me, Sandy Buttocks! I can drive a bus faster than 60 miles an hour! Yay!
So Joe also said in regards to the heroine from Midsommar, we were talking about this was the interaction. I said she invited herself. Ashley goes, kinda. And then he goes, no, that bitch invited herself. That was his.
What
another...
is he talking about heroin for?
So, you also, Jeremy used the phrase, I have no legs to judge upon, which isn't, I don't know if that's.
I have no legs to judge upon.
Lieutenant Dan, you got magic legs to judge upon now.
How can I judge thee with my cart with wheels, which I beg from people upon the streets? How may I judge thee?
He said, I'm not sure what Jeremy was trying to say, but it could have been three separate things.
I like to mix up my euphemisms, so you know.
So anyway, those are all the Midsommar Joe Robinson's corrections. As he catches up in the cycle, I'm sure we'll have more to come.
Feels good.
Whew, boy. Yeah, it did feel good. Did feel real freaking good.
It's good to have celebrities actually pay attention to our show.
Which celebrities? Oh. Who?
That would be Rob and Joe. Yeah.
Celebrity is a strong word.
Oh, they are celebrities. They're on 98 Rock.
So are we ready to get into tonight's film and break this thing down?
All right, name the guy who does the sound in the movie.
The sound?
Who does the score?
I don't know offhand. I could cheat and look it up, but I'll let you share with us, Jeremy.
I'll give you a hint. Every other De Palma film.
Oh, fuck. I should know this.
Better, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I've been drinking, and I'm going to say fuck a lot now.
It's something with like a Dell in it. There's like a Dell in his name.
Something like a penis.
Coxon? Joe Cox.
Yeah.
Joe Cocker.
Joe Coxon. Exactly. What would you do if I had a big cock? I'd be scoring lots of fiddles.
So,
No, it's Pino DiNaggio, who did not only Carrie, but also my other favorite film that he did, Body Double of Brian De Palma.
Man, I still haven't watched Body Double, which is should be a good movie to watch.
Holy
someday.
Fuck! How dare you say such a fucking thing?
Get the fuck out of my Zoom! Get the fuck out of my Zoom room!
Greatest Craig Wasson film ever fucking made, man! And Barbara Crampton's 2-second scene of ultimate pornography. So,
Oh, gosh, what a magical tale! 1981's The Howling is what we're talking about. A film that is, I guess, really kicked off the new wave of the '80s horror werewolf movies. As a lot of significant werewolf movies came out in the 1980s, and particularly in 1981, two in particular, American Werewolf in London and The Howling, both dropped this year. Both with special effects done by Rick Baker, although Rick Baker actually did really more of the work for American Werewolf, while his main guy, Rob Bottin, ended up actually doing most of the special effects, really like actually building them for The Howling. And both of them are really great movies with super cool werewolf transformation scenes, the likes of which we'd never seen before up to this point in film.
Button is a god between this film and The Thing. So,
well, yeah, that I was going to say, like, so Rick Baker and Rob Button are both, I mean, they're special effects icons. You know, when you talk about your Mount Rushmore of people who make cool monsters, you talk Rick Baker, you talk Rob Button, and then you talk the great Tom Savini. And then outside of that, it's whoever, you know, who else is really up there that's fucking with them. Maybe Greg Nicotero, someone like that.
Say.
You know, but if you look at Rick Baker's like top ones, you know, he's got American Werewolf, Starman, Harry and the Hendersons, Planet of the Apes, Men in Black. But then Rob Bottin, I got to be honest with you, I like the movies that he's done. He's got The Thing, Seven, Total Recall, RoboCop, and let's not forget about the little known classic with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry, Legend. So, I mean, that's a pretty special movie. I do. Hey, listen, I like the movie Legend. It's like a...
I agree.
It is. It has a cool look, and Tom Cruise is just a baby in it, and you get the horniest ever fucking Tim Curry.
Yeah.
I think Legend was an okay movie, but I prefer my director's cut, where at the end of the movie, Tim Curry is using the unicorn thing as a dildo in Tom Cruise's bloody ass, and the unicorn thing is completely bloody. So, and there's a lot of things being said that are very gay.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like something Tom Cruise would do. John Travolta,
well, Tim Curry,
yes, but
oh, he's definitely gay. Tom Cruise isn't gay. Hell no.
Tom Cruise
he's had sex with a woman once.
Yeah, Tom Cruise in for fucking bussy.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. The man who practices Scientology has never sucked a dick. You're right.
Next, you're gonna say Kevin Spacey's gay. He's totally manly.
Yeah. Facts. Big facts.
So, this is also directed by Joe Dante, who is also famous, done huge blockbuster films outside of The Howling, Gremlins, Small Soldiers, Inner Space, and even before this in 1970s, the cult classic Piranha. So, a nice little cast of characters put together for this one.
Possessed.
I do love some Inner Space.
Can we name the character who's both in Inner Space and in this movie?
Dick Miller.
Maybe. No, I won't put that off. But the one who was actually dressed as a cowboy in the movie Inner Space.
Wait. God,
Jeremy,
don't remember.
Why did you ask if you didn't know the actual answer?
I know the actual answer.
No,
I'm
share
to
with
give
us.
Eric a clue. So.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not. I give up. You tell me. My guess was Dick Miller, and I bet you it's correct because Dick Miller shows up in like every.
He might be because he's in almost every fucking movie, but. But no, the answer I'm looking for is Robert Picardo.
Oh, yeah, as well. Robert Picardo is he makes appear. It's Robert Picardo and Dick Miller almost show up in every single Joe Dante movie. They're like his favorite two actors, which is funny because Robert Picardo, who it plays the main bad guy in this, Eddie. It's I was reading about The Howling and that this was his first movie. Okay, so Robert Picardo is in this movie. It's his first film, and he's like they said that like one day when he was in makeup for like the 10th time and it's like a 6-hour makeup process, he goes, you know, I went to Yale and I was a trained actor and this, that, and he would just bitch about how he was a trained actor from Yale, and then the cast would just look at him like, yeah, you should have read the whole goddamn script then, Robert. And so they would just shit on him for bitching. It was a magical time.
I want to say that I went to Harvard for an acting career.
Yes, yes.
I got an acting major at Harvard.
I have blown the finest dicks to get this job. The finest.
Are we talking about me now or what's going on?
No, I'm talking about anyone who makes it in Hollywood. You gotta suck the big old cockles, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been willing, and I've just been doing it for free all this time. And that's the downfall.
It gets you. You at least got to step it up. You got to like go one level up to like, all right, look, if I do this, I want points on my Starbucks card.
So right off the bat, we get to meet some of our characters in this film. We meet George Wagner, who's played by Patrick McNee, right? Who Jeremy mentioned is a nudist. He plays a psychologist who's peddling his book on the local 6 news station. We also meet Fred Francis, who's played by Kevin McCarthy. He looks like the program director. He's like the program director in this. And Jeremy, can you name 2 other movies where Patrick McNee has played a program director?
You mean what's his name? Andrew McCarthy plays a program director?
Yeah.
Not Patrick McNee.
I'm sorry. His character is, yes, Kevin McCarthy. I'm sorry. Yes, Kevin McCarthy. Can you name 2 other movies?
I can think of one movie where he's like a major network director, and he fires somebody because he can't find a piece of paper that was actually in his chair. That'd be UHF.
Yes, Jeremy, it would be.
But I don't know the other one.
There was like some 1978 movie that I don't remember either, but really.
I'm going to say Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
But yeah,
he was a program director in that.
Here's my favorite. Here's my favorite Kevin McCarthy right here.
What is this piece of crap? I thought I told you I wanted a Rolex! A Rolex! What?
Anyway, UHF, everybody. UHF.
Finally, by the way, you know who he's talking to in that scene?
Who's that?
His actual son is Jambi from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I did. I recognize his, I recognize Jambi. Mekaleka hi, mekahini ho.
Long live Jambi.
Gosh, what an underappreciated. Are you familiar with the comedy stylings of one Weird Al Yankovic in the movie UHF, Ashley?
I have unfortunately never seen it, though I know that it is a big deal to all nerds that I hang out with.
Do you need some paper towels to dry off your WAP right now?
Hey.
I mean, I'm pretty close. I mean, I already love a man that does parody music, but you're just not Jewish enough. I don't.
Damn it.
Well, you're safe to watch the movie because Keith Richards doesn't use the N-word in that movie. So
yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So this movie also... we also meet character Karen White, played by Dee Wallace from obviously the mother from E.T., as well as Jeremy. Give us some other Dee Wallace classics.
Cudjo,
that is correct. Cudjo is correct.
Yeah.
That's really the only one.
The Frighteners with the Busey kid.
Yeah,
that's actually a good movie.
By the way, I know that E.T. had like a scene where E.T. tries to touch Dee while she's naked in bed.
Oh my.
And he's like, E.T. glowing finger bang you.
Yeah, she's been in a couple films.
I agree. A couple of good ones. So Karen is working, is one of the anchors at the station, and she's working on a sting operation to take down the nefarious Eddie. So she goes to meet this serial killer Eddie at a porn shop in New York City. And it's kind of like a beautiful thing, because this is the last time you ever see New York City as like the same gritty downtown, like Times Square area before now. Where it's like basically fucking Disneyland now, but back in the day it was fucking hookers and booze and, you know, shit like go home or just immediately get shot at dusk, right? That was the New York mm-hmm. of the day, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, New York.
Is it not in New York? Am I messing this up?
It looks like LA. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's the streets of New York City. But
you know, I'll go with it.
We'll see. I'll wait for Joe Robinson to correct us here. So she goes into the porn shop to go meet Sweet Eddie, and you get to hear this interaction here.
She didn't feel a thing, Karen. None of them do. They're not real, the people here. They're dead. They could never be like me.
And he's watching really violent pornography. It's important to know that.
I watch you on TV, and I know how good I can make you feel. I'm gonna light up your whole body, Karen.
That doesn't get her excited. I don't know what would. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna light up your whole body.
Oh, probably gosh.
Probably forces you to watch a porno in a peep show booth.
Isn't this making you...
Yeah.
This is how I introduce all my new girlfriends. We watch porn that I had to fucking get in this porn shop, and it's on 8mm, because I don't have my own projector, so I have to come here to watch my porn. And then...
Can you prime up that Doors song that I told you to prime up so you can play that with this?
Yeah, I don't remember which Doors song you asked me to pull up, but...
The one from Apocalypse Now.
All right.
You know the name of it.
Here we go.
Not the beginning of this song. It's the other of the song.
Let's see. You want me to play this with that over top of it?
Yeah, if it's possible.
Okay.
She didn't feel a thing, Karen. None of them do. They're not real, the people here. They're dead. They could never be like me.
I'm a doctor on a starship. That's...
Would you like some analgesic wipes?
is Robert Picardo the dorkiest person who's ever acted? I don't know. He might be up there, though.
He's almost as effeminate as John Ritter, but he's also bald.
He's like a non-funny David Cross. Does that make sense? No?
Exact. Very good call. Oh, and by the way, my favorite scene is when he lures Seven of Nine into like a peep show booth in Voyager. And he's like,
yes.
I'll do this for you, Seven of Nine. Yeah. Hey, make your whole body light up like a hologram.
Hey, Seven of Nine is probably the hottest property that's ever been on any Star Trek thing. I'll say it right now. She had big old jomblies. And she got me into my Borg fetish. What can I say? So
you will be absorbed.
So the cops bust in, they shoot Eddie, and the reporters go to check out Eddie's apartment. This is Terry and I believe what the fuck is his name? Bobby? Terry and, you know, somebody. It's not a big deal. Terry and Chris, they're investigative reporters there, and they go and check out Eddie's apartment, which looks like it is decorated by Ed Gein himself. There's actually like bones and shit, all types of creepy werewolf drawings. It is important to mention that they actually had props right here that were used in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So there's actually like
nice.
The bones and stuff. These were recycled from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and put into this very movie. So
that's cool.
Nice little callback for that.
My other favorite part is that it, if you have the name right, Chris is actually the guy who makes a cameo in Happy Gilmore, but he actually directed Happy Gilmore.
Is that that giant guy?
Adam? No, it's not Richard Kiel. It's the guy who's going to the apartment to check out the. He's the little nerdy guy. He was also, I think, running the PGA in the,
yes,
in the movie.
Yes, in Happy Gilmore. Yeah, he's the one who tells Shooter McGavin to, yeah. I love that movie. Good catch, Jeremy.
I hate to say, in the early 80s, he was in a bad Disney film called The Unidentified Flying Oddball. Where he goes back to King Arthur's court in a something like a Challenger kind of spacecraft.
So they also find this nice serene lake drawing, and they make a special note that we should remember that. So but Terry and Bobby can't really figure out anything about all this, so they decide, instead of telling the police about this secret lair of a serial killer that they probably found, they go to Dr. Wagner, and to get into Eddie's psyche. And I want you to know, I think I'm willing to admit things on this show for our listeners. I'm not good at spelling, okay? And I want to tell you how I spelled the word psyche, okay? All right? This is how I spelled the word psyche, and I read it without a fucking pause or hesitation. P-H-Y-C and then four E's after it. psyche.
Well, you do better than me, because I'd spell it S Y Y K K E.
Oh my god, how are you both married and I'm single? You
they
want... the word does not need a P in it. That's just bullshit.
So they decide that they want to run a special editorial, like investigative report, to run about Eddie Quist, this weird serial killer. Now, Karen is back on the air the next day, but she's still having PTSD thinking about Eddie fucking attacking her, but she really can't remember everything. She's repressing memories. God. Again, she's going to have to go see Dr. Wagner. So she goes to see Wagner, and he tells her that the only prescription is this.
I'm going to recommend that you go up to the colony for a week or two.
Your place up north there?
That's right. Now, I only recommend it to very special patients, ones who I think will benefit from its environment. It's a place where you can recharge your batteries. It'll enable you to try and get back to what you really are.
What goes on up there?
Well, seminars, some group therapy. It's very low-key. It'll be a good place to try and tackle this amnesia thing.
Hopefully no werewolf stuff happens up there.
Well, we're all werewolves and we end up eating babies.
So I find it funny, though, before we get to that point, though, where she meets with is Dr. Wagner, we said?
Yeah.
Yeah, before she meets with Dr. Wagner, though, in the day she goes on air and she loses it, I love that her superior's response to her trauma was, ugh, maybe she's pregnant. Like, why else would she have feelings? What a dumb bitch. Like, I could not believe. I have to say, it's one of the most misogynistic movies I've ever watched.
It's also important to probably note that she also is going with her husband, Bill. And Bill, the best way to describe what Bill looks like, I don't know what other movies Bill's been in, but he is Christopher Stone. And I'll go check his quick filmography.
Wait, what? I wrote down that this was Tom Atkins.
No, it looks like Tom Atkins. It looks like a slightly... it's a sexier Tom Atkins somehow, if I were to mention that.
Tom Atkins ? Why does he do all these movies?
Oh, hey, he was in. Hey, he was with Dee Wallace in another film, Cujo, in 1983. 2 years after this, look at that. And
and for some reason, her name became Dee Wallace Stone.
Yes. So yeah, I think he looks very much like Todd Atkins. So now as they go up there to the colony, we get to we get to meet. They go and meet Dr. Wagner. They say hi to some of them, and it's just a big barbecue beach bash. And man, there is just just have a listen to this.
I am not. Did you see that meat?
Karen, why? Oh my God! We watch you on the news all the time.
Here,
looky here, looky here! Welcome to the colony.
Thank you,
Charlie Martin.
I seen you on television.
Thank you.
If you fellas don't mind, I think I'm going to borrow Karen and just give her the rundown on the colony.
Don't leave out the juicy stuff.
Oh, I won't. Come on.
Right. Now let's get this boss
back. Okay, hey, you say when now, Bill.
So it's just a whole hoot nanny out on the beach with barbecues. It seems the colony seems like a real fun place as long as you're white. That's where it. to be clear, there's not one person. There's not one black person in this movie that you will ever see.
So
maybe
one of
Karen,
my...
you might go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to say one of my favorite parts, and it's funny that Eric just said that, is I think we just skipped over the part where the people tell her they're big fans, and then they go, I don't know, we kind of like the Oriental girl more.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And later, they actually call in the they were like, oh, see if that Oriental lady, is that Asian reporter can come in. She doesn't even know her name.
They call her an Oriental. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Bill,
that was perfectly good vernacular back in the day. So, heck, I still use Oriental all the time.
Whoa, geez, it's my favorite flavor. So, anyway, the Bill, while he's separated from his sweet wife Karen, meets the seductress Marcia, who says, "I'm looking for my wife," and she looks her dead in the eye and goes, why? And funny story about Marcia, which as we get further into the film, she is a nude scene later in it, played by Elizabeth Brooks, who she's a very, very fine, attractive young lass. She did this nude scene but thought it was going to be obscured by fire. It was just a total lie, so her titties were all out there, and she was very upset that she had this is her only nude scene that ever existed. And when the day this movie came out, Playboy put it in Playboy, and she was just like, great, my titties are fucking everywhere now. And that's she learned a horrible lesson about the folks in all right, hold on, the old lady's calling me. What's up, hon? I'm on quality time right now.
You're what?
I'm doing quality time right now. What's up?
Forget it.
Okay, cool. Good talk. So,
oh gosh.
So, that's, you know, I'm sure there's really good things waiting for me upstairs now. So anyway, Bill, Marcia returns a book to Dr. Wagner right after this, and she says, she doesn't want her brother reading this, and gives this book back to Wagner, and then looks over at Karen, just gives her that real cunty eye, like, and fuck you too. And Wagner says she's very elemental, lots of energy. We could all learn a lot from her. Meanwhile, the old man in the corner is having a rough go at everything.
That's one of Earl's favorite tricks. He's just trying to get attention.
I want to end it. It just goes on and on.
Well, you know better than that.
You gotta
the old man shouldn't drink. Really gets him loose.
Now,
believe me, come tomorrow, people will be so pleased to see that you're safe and sound, they won't think anything more of you. You get a good night's sleep.
Look, you're going to miss all this hoedown music. How could you end it when we have, look, that's the Kings of Leon. They'll be really big in like 30 years. So,
you're only like 300 years old. I'm 1,000 years old, and I'm still getting it on with 16-year-olds. I love it. I'm a nudist.
So that night, Karen has horrible dreams again. She sees that guy Earl who tried to burn himself to death, and all she can hear is the howling outside. She peeks outside, and she gets to hear all of this.
Yeah.
Something was howling.
Oh. Okay, sure, somebody's dog.
Not like any dog I ever heard.
Honey, you were raised in L.A. The wildest thing you ever heard was Wolfman Jack. This is the
country.
Wolfman Jack!
Oh, yeah, Wolfman Jack. And you know what that is, Jeremy? Did you know what that was? That was our titular line of the movie. Titular line! Titular line!
Oh!
Titular line! You know what is the time of that titular line? Anyway, titular line, everyone. Like the one in Star Wars.
Damn good song. Can I interject that that really reminds me of the black Dracula called Blackula, and I've never really seen it, so I can't say it for sure, but I'm sure that when Blackula hears the howling of the night, he says something like, "Yo, the children of the night. What motherfucking beautiful music they fucking make, motherfucker! I'm black."
That's
Blackula.
That sounds pretty accurate. I thought, oh my god, did we just have Blackula on the show just now?
I've never seen it, though.
So,
I think it was Samuel Jackson as Blackula.
So Bill reassures Karen that nothing is out there, but we do see something through the eyes of the wolf outside that's creeping around outside the place. Now, Karen does meet the sheriff the next day. He seems pretty nice and is probably also definitely a werewolf. Reporters go to the Terry and Chris go to the coroner to ask him some questions about Eddie's body, but the body's missing and it appears to be clawed from the inside of that little fucking meat locker. So that's extra creepy. Karen and Donna then find a mutilated cow. Donna was that little broad that was like, "Oh, let me show you around the place. I sound like Lisa Simpson." It's horrific. And the boys go out hunting that day and go catch some fucking shoot some rabbits. Now, also Karen does some more therapy during this little montage. And then the reporters finally make their way to a local bookstore where we get to meet the great Dick Miller in this movie, man. Oh, Dick Miller, I gotta
Dick
tell you.
Miller.
The
Love
most
him.
Powerful of cameos in this film is Dick Miller. And they prod about like what this tattoo meant on Eddie's body. He's like, yeah, it's probably a fucking werewolf. What are you talking about, right? he runs He runs an Obscura shop in the middle of New York. He's like, "You think I believe in all this crap? But this is what I know. Hey, blah, blah, blah." Anyway, here's a little bit of Dick Miller's character as the kooky shop owner.
Please, you're going to purchase. Not leave him alone. You're getting greasy.
We'll find out if any of Eddie's killings were on a full moon.
Hey, that's a lot of Hollywood baloney. Your classic werewolf can change shape anytime it wants, day or night, whenever it takes a notion to. That's why I call them shapeshifters. I got a dozen books on it.
What about killing it with silver bullets?
Well, sure. Silver bullets are fire. It's the only way to get rid of the damn things. They're worse than cockroaches. They come back from the dead if you don't kill them right. Plus, they regenerate. You know what that is? Cut off an arm, cut off a leg, stick a knife in a heart, nothing. They may look dead, but bam, 3 days later, they're as good as new.
You believe in this?
What am I, an idiot? I'm making a buck here. You want books? I got books. I got chicken blood. I got dog embryos. I got black candles. I got wolf bane. Look at this. Silver bullets. Some joker ordered them. 3006. Never picked them up. I take Bank of America, American Express, Visa. You gonna buy that or what?
I just love what a piece of shit owner he is. It's great. I really like Dick Miller in this movie. Great.
I was very fortunate to see him 3, maybe 4 years ago, and I knew this is the last time I'm going to get to see Dick Miller. He was at Chiller, and I just so happened to mention the old man in The Shining, who's probably pushing 90 something here, and he clamored up. He's like, "Oh no, he borrowed money from me like years ago. We aren't friends anymore."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I lent him my best werewolf book. So next like, thing you know, he went off to town with it.
So like old things never die with actors that are still pushing like, you know, death age. Oh, and another thing. When I met Robert Picardo, I think, at Monster Mania, I had to ask him the question. It was like, was that your real voice in the howling? He's like, "Oh, yeah, that was my real voice." He's like,
he just on a dime, you know, you don't hear his fucking regular dorky voice like Mr. Doctor of Zhivago Voyager bullshit. You know, he's definitely got some range as an actor, so.
All right.
Just give him a big old fucking 80s wig, and he is motherfucking Eddie, man. Ready to be an Iron Maiden fucking monster, so.
So, Bill, after that scene, goes to head over to Marsha's house, which is to cook up the rabbit he's killed at her brother TC's request.
She likes to cook.
She makes her moves immediately on Bill. Luckily, Bill is strong enough to avoid her sexual advances. He's a true Christian G. Gotta love
slut.
Bill. But as he walks through the woods after leaving her house, it's clear he's being stalked. And he can hear some fucking scary sounds. It's not looking good. And then out of nowhere, he just gets fucking absolutely mollywopped by a fucking giant ass werewolf! So it just swipes him, though. Just leaves a little mark on his arm for the most part.
You realize it's a love tap, because otherwise his neck could be fucking torn out within seconds.
Yeah, which leads you to believe that the werewolf in question that did this was probably Marsha, because she's trying to fuck him, and he's just like, well, wait till I get some good old werewolf fucking juice through his fucking Viagra dick,
and,
right?
You know what Karen says? Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
Fucking slut!
We have to mention... Go ahead.
Oh, no, please, you were starting your thought.
The first thing I see when I see TC, their creepy brother with the fucking, Steppenwolf clothes from the band Steppenwolf, is that he looks so much like Joe Satriani. So.
Oh, Joe Satriani, the great guitar player. Look at
back
that.
Back when he had hair.
Oh, yes. God. Well, you know what's funny is I was thinking about how we had recently done Midsummer, and now we're doing The Howling, and I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't realize just how much in common these two movies had, because they both involve guys falling under the spell of a hair pie.
Good pickup. This is why we have you on the show, Ash. This is why we have you. So he stumbles back to his cabin to see Karen and gets a little injection from Dr. Wagner. Karen calls her reporter friends, Chris and Terry.
We'll be right up. Just calm down. Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
What is it?
Bill just got bitten by a wolf.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Yeah, and they're watching scary werewolf movies over there, and they get to hear that little thing drop. And I guess this is the first kind of movie that I could think of where there's an established monster, and they already say, hey, these are the rules that you already know from another movie, and this is how that works. I think this is the first movie that actually does that, that builds upon an existing mythology and doesn't re-explain that to you, or just tells you what's different in this world about it.
Right, but I do have a question about that, though, and I don't want to get us too deep in, but I don't know if you guys feel the same way I do. I find it kind of weird, though, that in the shop he talks about the only way to kill them being fire. I could be wrong, but I didn't remember fire itself ever being a way to kill one.
I don't know. Fire seems to work on pretty much anything except for fire demons. So it's like
the only thing you need to kill the thing.
Yeah, if it could kill the thing, it'll kill a werewolf, you know.
Well, it's funny to me that, no, you're right. So, like, why would you almost even need to mention it? It's kind of like, oh, you know what? You can set a person on fire. You could set a werewolf on fire. It seems like an obvious given and kind of odd to throw it in the mix.
Couldn't you see, like, Dick Miller, though, like, coming back in, just chewing an apple, like... Yeah, I mean, the other way you could do it or whatever, you could just toss them into, like, an active volcano. But, I mean, how many of those you got around New York? Hey!
you've already chopped up a werewolf into, like, little pieces, but the pieces are still moving. You're like, hey, what about your Nazi friend that owns, like, a crematorium? Yeah, we can go over to his crematorium and burn the pieces and everything.
Yes, good callback to Return of the Living Dead. Hell yeah.
Let's talk about the important elephant in the room, which is... Lon Chaney Jr., the saddest and fattest and dumpiest of all the classic monsters. Who even in like the 40s and 50s was dumpy and sad and drunken, and you know, only to be compared with the dumpiest and saddest of all actor monsters, Tor Johnson.
Oh, who was Tor in
Plan
Johnson.
Nine from Outer Plan 9 from Outer Space with the bald head and
I think that's what we were all thinking, Jeremy, for sure.
Lives on with the mask that Mel Gibson almost wears in the movie Mad Max. So
later that night, Bill awakens from sleep and instinctively takes his boner outside to go meet Marcia, who's out by a bonfire, all fully nude to the cacophony of a dozen wolves howling out in the woods around. She does some real creepy licking of his wounds and stuff like that. Terry wakes up while this is happening and notices that he's gone and is a little bit pissed off. But Bill and Marcia start to transform while they're fucking out in the woods. And as they're like mid-transformation, you get a real shitty cartoon drawing of fucking Bill doing a wolf nut, is what I'd like to describe this. It's him nutting as a wolf. Which is how I come every time. I howl like a wolf. But I actually just do Wolfman Jack and I'm about to fucking bust again. Yeah, you got a little bit of that stuff in ya. So
I knew it. I knew you sounded like an unfixed dog.
I'm about to go. I'm about to blow my load, lady. So
we call that the Pall Mall 900 nut. So.
Yes. So Terry is awakened and is reviewing the audio that she grabbed last night of all the creepy wolf cries. Karen is pissed that Bill was gone all last night. Terry then figures out that the picture in Eddie's room is in fact the colony where they are right now. So they're in some big fucking trouble. Unfortunately for Terry, the wolves are on to her. She goes to investigate old Marla's cabin, Marcia's cabin, and she appears to find the same setup as Eddie's apartment back in New York. But as she's fucking stumbling around, oh gosh, she can hear something in the fucking closet. It busts out, but you don't really get to see the wolf close up, so she jumps out of the window. She crawls into like this weird kind of like wooden space, I guess, like a wooden crawl space on the side of the house. The wolf fucking grabs her through the fucking boards, but luckily she picked up a hatchet on the way and chops off the wolf's hand. And forcing it to flee. And as the hand is there, you see like this dismembered wolf hand that's gushing blood out, and then you see it kind of disintegrate and then reform back into a human hand. And it's a pretty cool special effect, I think, for the 1980s, no?
Yeah, but I mean, like, now how is he going to masturbate?
Well, if you listened to Dick Miller earlier, you heard of regeneration? 3 days later, they grow a limb back. Doesn't even matter.
Ooh, how fun would that be? Like, to like do the stranger as you, like, as it's in your hand, you grow a new hand wrapped around. Yeah.
A comedian that I went on tour with, who actually I almost got abducted in the in Kenya with, Patrick Melton. He has a really, really funny joke. If you look up Patrick Melton, NLO, shout out Patrick. He has a very, very funny bit about how octopuses fuck, and every time they use their dick, as soon as they're done with it, they just rip it off and just regenerate a new dick after they're done. And he said could you imagine though if you could just rip off your dick after you used it? But like, is it like a ticker tape? Do you just rip one out and like you just see how long you could get it? You're like, fuck it, 8, ooh, 9, ooh, 10, ugh, 3, fuck, like this. And it doesn't matter. I got 20 more dicks to rip off right now. So
I'm telling you, that would solve the STD problem.
Yeah.
You'd be like, dude, I'm raw dogging it. You know she's dirty. And you're just like, I'm just going to get a new one anyways. Just throw it on the bed next to her. Ugh.
I wouldn't fuck you with my third severed dick. So luckily,
hey, we didn't address John Carradine.
No, go ahead, address John Carradine.
But the old guy who wants to kill himself on the beach in the beginning of the film is actually the father of
David Carradine.
Chris, David, and Keith.
Oh,
otherwise known
horrible.
As Kung Fu and the Revenge of the Nerds guy.
Wow,
that's so sad.
Look at that.
And also, Chris, I think, was made a. They all three of them played in like a Western together as brothers or something. So
it'd be
that's
cool.
So sad.
Be cool if he was like, yeah. I want to end it all, and then he was just like, and he ties a belt to his neck and he just starts jerking off, and then you know, the Carradine way. So
too soon.
Too soon. So Terry then runs back to the main lodge and dials Christopher, who didn't come with her, and lets him know what's going on. But she doesn't notice that there's a tape recorder in the doctor's desk that's on record. So Karen then confronts Bill about his cheating ways after seeing the claw marks on his back. He gives her a good old-fashioned backhand and says, "Never talk about my back scars, woman." And then she leaves saying, "Do whatever you want." And then Chris tells Terry while this is going down to look for files on Eddie Quist, and she opens up the Quist, the fucking Dr. Wagner's thing, and she sees that there's an Eddie, a TC, and a Marcia Quist. So they're all brothers and sisters in werewolf matrimony. But just as she finds it, the wolf is there in his full glorious form. And that wolf makes fucking short work of sweet Terry. She gets killed, gets her throat ripped out. But it's kind of like a weird vampire killing of her, like where he like grabs her up like she's fucking Kane or The Undertaker and just slowly like bites her neck like that. Didn't really care for that. I like my werewolves to be a little bit more rippy, but...
Yeah, hey. Can we say though too that in the time it took him to transform, she could have escaped?
Yeah, well, this wasn't a transformation. He was already all fully done up at this part. He just shows
up. Oh, yeah, I guess he... yeah, you're right. Never mind.
And
yeah,
it is a pretty cool-looking werewolf, though. And this werewolf is, like, it stands on its two hind legs. It's got a real cool giant ears that, like, protrude like this. I really enjoy the look of this werewolf, for sure. I would say I like how this werewolf looks better than the Werewolf in London movie. I think the look is better here, although I do think when we get to the transformation, I think the transformation is better in American Werewolf. But we'll get to that.
Werewolves are better in the dark. But can I talk about Rick Baker, who not only did the werewolves in this movie, but also did King Kong, and let's not forget the greatest John Landis film ever called Schlock, where he plays the missing link, and it's actually John Link in an ape suit. So
I didn't know that. Look at that. Who knew?
Huh. I finally found it after like 40 freaking years. Well, I hadn't seen it in 30 years or 35 years. I was like, oh, I gotta see this. It dated a little bit, but it's still John Landis in a monkey suit with Rick Baker doing the mask. So
all right. So
no John Landis.
So
hell yeah.
Chris immediately goes to the store after hearing his girlfriend get murdered over the phone to go cop him that thing of silver bullets, and tells Dick Miller, "Hey, just put it on my tab, pal. I gotta go kill some werewolves, buddy." So Karen finds Terry with her throat ripped out, and Eddie is waiting for her there.
"I saw you die."
"You said on the phone that you wanted to get to know me. But here I am, Karen. Look at me. I want to give you a piece of my mind. I trusted you, Karen."
And he rips the bullet out of his own head, which is pretty impressive looking. And the transformation begins to wolf, which is it's a pretty rad transformation, I will say. I don't know how many hours it probably took to shoot this scene, but I would say that there's not a better part in this movie than watching this werewolf transformation, and I think it holds up to today. There's a couple of goofy parts, I will admit. There's like a mid-transformation scene where he just has this weird smiling face like, Like that makes me, that's pretty silly. But everything else, I really do love the elongation of the snout part. That's definitely mm-hmm. the coolest part, as it like protrudes out like that. And I would say that the thing that American Werewolf in London has over this movie is that it's done in like the light of a room, which is pretty rad. So it's stronger. I also like that you get to see the hair grow out on the American yes. Werewolf in London. And there's something so unsettling about seeing the arms protrude and get elongated in that. That's the only thing that kind of beats this one out. But
And skin ripping. I think skin yeah. ripping is such a good effect because it's very unsettling. It's gross. It's unnatural. Anytime I see like skin being torn off to produce this new figure, I'm like, that to me is always a cool effect. I like that.
I would say that there's not a better werewolf transformation outside of those two movies until the movie Trick or Treat, which came out in like the 2000s, which I will say yeah. is that one is a rad werewolf transformation where they mm-hmm. just literally unzip their fucking bodies with their claws and just rip their own skin off and like, haha, I'm a wolf underneath, you dumb bitch. So yeah. that's the only I think one that has ever even rivaled it, and it took like 30 years to get to that point. So
agreed.
Anyway,
I'll tell you what makes the American Werewolf in London better than any other movie. It's Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon. I saw Werewolf in London.
The only other better film maybe is Color of Money, where Tom Cruise is playing pool to war on Zevon.
I will say, in the horrible sequels that are made of both films, at least the Howling ones are watchable, but American Werewolf in Paris, man, is a real
I just watched it 3 days ago.
The CGI that we're forced to deal with makes The Rock's claw hands in The Scorpion King look so realistic.
It was so bad. I wish somebody would have told me. I was just on a kick after watching this, and I was like, I should watch this, and I was like, this was a waste of a day.
I will say that if there is one good thing about American Werewolf in Paris is that it does have my favorite song by the band Bush, which is Mouth. I think that's my favorite Bush song.
The soundtrack was slamming for that time period, but very unnecessary.
Yeah.
Does he really have sex with Paris Hilton?
yes, American Werewolf in Paris.
But in this one, she has an unshaved bush.
Ooh. So, Chris then shows up locked and loaded up at the place. I should mention that Karen takes a giant vat of acid and then just throws it in the werewolf's face after this 5-minute transformation, which seemed like she could have done at any point, but thankfully she didn't. And so luckily, let's thank our good Dr. Wagner, who just keeps regular acid as a psychologist in his room, in his office, for saving the day there. Now, Chris shows up locked and loaded with his silver bullets. We get to see TC with his arm chopped off. He's walking around, and the colony is turning on the good doctor at the little sacrifice barn. They're all looking at him like, I think we've had enough of the good doctor at this point, because we find out that the doctor is actually just trying to make the colony work in the modern world, because they're all werewolves, and we all have to live with people and stuff like that and deal with our emotions.
Can I say, we could have had more scenes with Slim Pickens. I just love ripping out young people's throats. I'm Slim Pickens.
So Chris then runs into the office where Eddie was burned, and runs into Burnface Eddie, who just grabs his gun immediately from him, and tells Chris that Karen's down at the ritual center. She'll be back later. I'm really cool and scary. And it does look really rad. He almost like his makeup now. It looks like a mid like Jeff Goldblum fly transformation now, with his burned up acid-y looking face. And he goes, it just gives the gun back to Chris. He goes, go ahead, take your best shot. And he starts to transform into the thing again. And all of a sudden, he immediately regrets the decision. He's like, shit, those are silver fucking bullets, man. Oh, what an idiot. What did I do? So, Meanwhile,
it's like at the end of the thing when MacReady throws all this like Quaker oats at Blair. He's like, "No, not Quaker oats."
So now, here's a little bit of the insurrection down by at the Ritual Center, which is really just a barn. You got to read the pamphlet very carefully about the amenities at the colony.
But at the colony, we have the sacrifice barn where we kill people who need them.
Given the time, he would have brought you over to us. Our secret will be safe.
It's wonderful, Karen. When I was first bitten, I fought against it. And so did Jerry. And then we found the doctor. He helped us. He helped us to adjust. You see, Karen, he understands all about the gift. He knows how to use it, how to control it.
You could have Bill back. There's still time if you accept the gift.
It's a mistake to bring her to the colony.
We should have stuck with the old ways, raising cattle for our feed. Where's the life in that?
The humans are our cattle.
Humans are our prey. We should feed on them like we always done. Screw all this channel your energy crap.
But the danger of exposure. We need the shelter to plan, to catch up with society. Times have changed, and we haven't. Not enough.
Shut up, Doc. You wouldn't listen to me. None of you. We can fit in, you said. We can live with them. You make me sick.
Marcia.
Oh, you're through, Doc. She's ours now.
So they all turn on the doctor. They're going back to the old ways. Woo! Meat is back on the menu, boys! And but they're in for a rude awakening as Chris comes down and he is fucking lock stocked and ready to just kill fucking everyone. They come towards them and he goes and says this.
I have silver bullets in here.
Silver bullets, my ass.
Get up, Jason.
And again, another...
Joe Satriani!
He immediately just, oh, shit, he does have silver bullets. Meanwhile, that guy has a gun. He could have just shot back at him immediately. He's like, I'm going to turn into a werewolf and eat this dumbass. So, again, guns really are good when they work against what you're fighting. It's a proven method throughout history. So they all creep backwards into the barn as they all start to transform into full werewolves. Karen and Chris lock the doors and then immediately light the place on fire. The brood starts trying to claw their way through the walls of the barn. They hop in their car and have to blast one off of the roof. As they flee, they run into the old cop sheriff who's mid-transformation too, but is wisely shooting a gun because he's a police officer. They end up killing that cop and then trying to steal his car because the cop actually shot the gas tank and blows up their car in the process. Now, as they take off, they're surrounded by like three werewolves at this point, clawing all out the outsides of the police car. One of them gets into the back seat and takes a chunk out of Karen's shoulder. Karen takes the rifle and does an old fucking blind shot over her shoulder like this, and then fucking she realizes that she shoots this thing to death, and it actually is her sweet husband, Bill, who's dead in the back seat. Saddened by all of this, she looks at Chris and says this.
We have to warn people, Chris. We have to make them believe.
And they drive away as they see a group of three werewolves just howling in the background as they as they ride over back.
In claymation.
Yeah, in claymation, correct.
But how will you do this? You're only a news anchor.
Well, I'm glad because Karen's solution is really fun. She just decides to go and go full transformation on the 6 o'clock news the next day. And it's pretty, it's
tonight,
pretty
I'm
fun.
Show you something. Make you believe.
So she just starts transforming into a. She actually looks more like.
Shit!
I do like the news anchor going, holy shit, what the hell? And as she's... Oh, gosh. And then Chris comes out and...
Switch, damn it, switch!
And then I love that they switch to the commercial finally at this point, and
for Alpo.
Yeah, right here.
No.
Doesn't that look good? Meaty chunks of tantalizing nutrition. So good.
Special effects these days.
And everybody's like, oh, it's those special effects. He's like, you know, she really was a werewolf and they just shot her. He's like, you're drunk. Yeah, but I'm still right. And then they
you just say she kind of turned into like a Pomeranian werewolf.
Yeah, she does not look like a werewolf. It's more like she looks like literally the Karen of werewolves. Like she will.
She looks like a sexy Chewbacca.
Yeah, I see that. 100%. I heard
man,
that.
Man, I would so fuck a fucking female Chewbacca. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow, that's this is.
Hear
a level
me.
That...
You should call me.
just a little less hair than like a normal Italian woman. So.
Yeah, you get what I'm putting down. Yeah.
So they actually said that the reason Karen looks so shitty at the end of the movie is that they just completely run out of money and they just basically put a wolf mask on her and they're just like, yeah, we really blew the budget on making Eddie look cool, and yeah, we ain't got no more money left.
They're like,
this.
Here, look, we shaved our pubes, now we're just gonna super glue them to your face.
yes.
And I hate to say, if I had made more time because I have to fucking work for a living, fuck, is the song this week would have been When the Werewolves Cry before they get shot on
when
TV.
When werewolves cry, dun. Dun, 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 dun. With gunshots.
When the werewolves cry.
Oh, okay. I you took it in a different direction, but I like it. I really do.
Kind of British, you know.
Yeah, no, I heard it.
Sure, you said
it. But anyway, I'm sorry. That brings us to an end of 1981's The Howling.
Wait, how did she want her burger?
Oh, yeah. Marcia is at the end of the bar, and she says, I'll have it. Rare. There you go. So, Marcia's still out there as you get to hear this nice jazzy tune at the end.
Mm. I hate to say, Marcia's kind of Hollywood chopped nose kind of added to her character, making her look even creepier like a monster.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she's a very lovely lass. I like her dark raven features, I will say.
It looked like she had a nose job.
You think so?
It did.
It looked like.
Not. I don't think so. That doesn't seem like
not
something.
Not a boob job, though.
That doesn't seem like something Marsha would do. So, I do think it's very interesting in other installments of The Howling. They just have other sequels where, like, the whole world pretends like they just didn't see a werewolf transform on TV. It's just yeah. They just completely forget about it. No big deal. Whatever.
Can I say the other actress I've met from Howling 3?
Yes, which one did you meet? Yeah.
That's, of course, Sybil Danning, the queen of all big boob bad 70s movies. So.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Sybil yes. Danning. Who knew?
Star of Amazon Women on the Moon.
Well, tight, man. Anything, any final thoughts, Ashley, on The Howling?
Yeah, like, don't tell men whenever you have any emotional problems. And and don't pick up the phone when anybody calls, and all your problems are good.
Yeah, Chris and the other lady and Terry would still be alive, Terry would still be alive. She just didn't answer her friend's call.
Yeah, text me. Don't call me. Why the fuck would you call me? Text me. DM me.
And it's not
smoke
like
signal me.
She saved no one if you really think about it, because Karen is still fucking dead. Right.
Yeah.
So ultimately,
think
you
about
just,
yourself.
You just.
You know what? You know what's great? Just being single, not dealing with people at all.
Yeah. Ashley, you got anything coming up, love?
Yes, I believe I have a show in Baltimore. I can't remember where. October 14th, and I'll be doing a show. In somewhere, I think in Lancaster, PA, September 25th.
Nice. So check all that shit out.
Yeah.
You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. I got a bunch of shows that are on the docket right now. And as long as we keep these COVID numbers down, I'll be at all of them. So check that shit out. Eric with a K, comedy with a C.com. The Second Saturday Shit Show with the lovely Ashley Pontius just performed on is every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Michael Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. Check that out in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Check out The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman, Jeremy's critically acclaimed New Jersey film. It's always a hit, so get that in your life. Jeremy, take us out of here.
What are you kids watching? The werewolf lady turned it, the late Ms. Edgar lady turned into a werewolf.